So it's Leah in my car and stuck in traffic. It's, for those of you who don't live in the Middle Tennessee area, or should I say the Central Tennessee area. Let me turn off that radio. It's driving me nuts. For those of you who don't live in Central Tennessee, we're supposed to get like a shit ton of snow this weekend. And so everybody's freaking out. Everybody's already asked me if I've got enough bread and water in my house and milk. And my mom asked me if I had enough cigarettes, and I said, well, that's a dumb story. I won't tell it. So I'm on my way home now. Luckily, I have my computer and my microphone from when I was recording Des Moines' Lily Tomlin story. Although I'd imagine that the people around me think I'm bitch cakes for talking to myself, but they don't see that I have a microphone on, and they can suck it. So anyway, I'm on my way home. I left 3:30. Had to take the shuttle, so probably got to my car about 3:50. And it's 4:20 right now, so, you know, so it's taking me this long. I'll probably get home probably close to 5:30, which is interesting, because if I leave on a normal day at 4:30, I get home about 5:15. So I figured I'd bore you while I'm on my way home. So I'm passing by the Catholic high school / college, where they have all the crosses to represent the aborted babies in their front lawn. It's freaky to see. It's freaky. And my cell phone is about to die, and so hopefully you didn't try to call me on my home commute because I can't talk to you. I was listening to NPR. Oh gosh, this is so funny, you guys. Sylvia Pajoli, who, if you listen to All Things Considered, you know that Sylvia is their Italian correspondent. She's their Italian attaché, and was commenting on the opening ceremonies of the Olympics, and all of a sudden you hear her say, "Oh shit," and then silence, and then Michelle Norris said, Sylvia, I think we've lost you, Sylvia." So anyway, it was funny to hear someone who's so classy as Sylvia Pajoli use a curse term. But funny times. Funny, funny times. So, traffic sucks. But sucks that my cell phone doesn't work. I shouldn't be on my cell phone anyway, because I can't have both hands on the wheel. Which I can, because I've got my lavalier mic with me, my lapel mic. So that's a good thing. So I hope you enjoyed Des Moines' Lily Tomlin story from earlier. I thought it was funny. I mean, she had told me the dog story before, and I always thought that was hilarious. I'm trying to get my mom on, because I want her to tell her Leonard Nimoy story, which is, when I say, just give up, like, people just a little bit of that story, they're like, "Huh?" You know, when I give them just, like, the exposition, when I just give them the ending, you know, of the story, the money shot of my mom's Leonard Nimoy story, they're like, "Eh?" Double take. You gotta explain the story, or else it just sounds a little salacious, which it's not. It's not salacious in the least. Leonard Nimoy was a perfect gentleman, and I might add that I saw him on, I think it was a commercial for Aleve, or some sort of anti-inflammatory device that he's still looking good, man. He is looking good. So before, I'm going to just veer off the topic of Leonard Nimoy for about a minute and tell you that I just passed the Belle Meade Theater, the Belle Meade Movie Theater, which has not been a movie theater probably in 15 years. Maybe less than that, maybe more than that. It used to be a big-time movie theater, one of the old-timey movie houses, and they had, eventually they converted it into a bookstore, specifically Bookstar. And I think that bookstores everywhere just closed. And bookstores were kind of cool because they'd buy these old-timey buildings. I think the one in Memphis used to be a movie theater. I don't know. The one in Memphis used to be something funky. So they buy these old-timey buildings and put these mega bookstores in. And that's kind of cool, you know, if you like mega bookstores. But they kept a lot of the details, and they kept their... It was interesting because the thing, the balcony, that's it. The balcony was the children's section. So it was kind of cool, and it had the glass window so you could look over, you know. I never went in it as a movie theater because I couldn't drive yet. But I understand it was opulent. But they had... Sorry, I just had Paris's Burning flashbacks. But anyway, they kept a lot of the pictures, that a lot of the photographs that had been taken. They had a big mirrored ceiling, and they had all these celebrities who would, you know, come for movie premieres. I mean, big names. Ronald Reagan is the only name that's coming to mind right now, but, you know, he later became governor of California, and then later, in case you didn't know, he was president of our country for 8 years. And he passed away recently, if you hadn't heard that. So, you realize I'm saying all this with my tongue in cheek. I hope you guys don't think I'm serious that you don't know who Ronald Reagan is. But, so they had pictures of all these celebrities, autographed pictures, black and white stills. Just amazing. I mean, it sucks that they had to tear down, but gut the theater to put the bookstore in. But at least the bookstore people kept it somewhat cool. But they kept the outside of the building the same. So they kept the marquee, and they kept the light thing that said Belle Meade Theater or whatever. And they kept all that. So they kept some of the historical details, which I think is so cool. Now, of course, I think Bookstar, which was owned by Brentano's, which was owned by Walden Books. Sorry, it took me forever to think of that name. I don't know why. So... It's owned all by the same company, and it closed. And I think Walden, some of the Walden Books is closed, too. I don't know if Brentano's is still around. I don't know if Walden Books exist anywhere. I'm sure it does. But, which reminds me of all the times I used to go to the Walden Books in Orange Park Mall to buy my little Christopher Pike novels. But, okay. So, back to the story at hand. Belle Meade Theater, Bookstar. Bookstar closed. There were rumors that they were going to tear down the Bookstar and they were going to put in an office complex, and not just an office complex, a medical office building, which I just rubs me the wrong way for so many effing reasons. What am I saying? I've got an explicit tag on this. Fucking reasons. How about that? Fuck, 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 fuck. Okay, so, and that word means nothing to me now. So, they... We're going to tear down the building, and no, they opted not to, or they lost their funding, or blah, blah, blah. Rumor had it recently, like in the last few years, last couple of years, I guess, because it closed not too many years ago. I guess it was in the last year that this old theater, which became a big old bookstore, was going to become a grocery store by a chain, by one of the high-end, kind of classy chains of grocery stores. Which is cool with me, because apparently they were going to keep the building as intact as they could. Which is great, because it's a huge space, so it's great for, you know, a supermarket. It's got the cachet that this store, this grocery store, tries to keep, you know, kind of a cool cachet. They built a urban grocery store. They tore down an old grocery store and built one somewhere else. Anyway. So I think that's a fantastic idea, as long as they keep the building, and they keep the marquee, as it is, sorry, I just belched, and they keep the marquee as it is, because I just think that's so cool. And it was cool because the, when it was a Bookstar, the management of the Bookstar would use the marquee to promote whatever, you know, they had an artist, they had gallery shows, they had, you know, of course, people come and sign books. As authors seem to like to do most of the time. And so they'd have these artists come, or artists, writers, come and do their thug fizzle and sign books. But anyway, so they use the marquee for that. It was neat. It was a neat bookstore. I always liked it. You know, it was a bookstore. What can you say? Giant magazine collection, which is, you know, I like magazines. Who doesn't? Well, many people. But, and their prices were really good, too. They always had a discount. They always had discounted prices anyway. And then on top of that, they sold you one of those membership cards, which are usually a total scam to get you to buy something you'll never use, you know, meaning the membership card. I've got one to another body product store that shall remain nameless that I probably will never use, but they talked me into it. Anyway, bookstore, discount card, always used it, saved tons of money, definitely paid for that bookstore card every year. You know, it was an annual fee. Every year paid for it itself in droves, in spades, in masses. And it was, they regret the day they ever gave me one of those cards, or sold me one of those cards. Of course, maybe that's the reason they're out of business now. You know, me and my tiny little Christopher Pike book buying. Oh, hold on, I gotta pause. Christopher Pike paperback buying self, you know, such a little teeny, so into that Christopher Pike, whose name is, like, real name is Kevin McFadden. I mean, if you don't know, and if you don't know, then you probably don't. God, that was so fucking profound. Can you believe I just said that? If you don't know, you probably don't know. God. Anyway, Christopher Pike is the name of the first captain of the Starship Enterprise, as in the Starship Enterprise, as in Captain Kirk and Spock and, you know, all them folks. Uhuru, I can't even say it, Scotty, all them people. Christopher Pike was the first captain. Now, I don't know much about Trek. I mainly know about Trek from my interest in Trekkers. So, you know, I have secondhand knowledge of Trek. And I watched a few episodes. I got into the Next Generation when it was on. Because, you know, I liked it. And I know there's a big warring factions. But you know what? That cute Will Wheaton drew me in. And he made me the Next Generation's bitch. So, what can I say? So, anyway, so Christopher Pike, the author, took his pseudonym, his nom de plume, his whatever, pen name. He took it from the first captain of the Starship Enterprise. Oh, I know nothing about. I don't even know who played him. God. I mean, I just know nothing. I am tabula rasa. Nothing at all. So, and if you don't know, Christopher Pike, besides being the name of the author, Christopher Pike, wrote thrillers for teens. And you know what? They were pretty good. I mean, he wrote Slumber Party and Chain Letter, and then wrote a Final Friends series of three books. Slumber Party being where some girls get invited to a slumber party, and then crazy things happen. Chain Letter being about these young people who get chain letters telling them to do things, or crazy things would happen, you know. Thrillers. Good thrillers. And he always wrote good thrillers, and sometimes he invoked a little bit of the supernatural, which was kind of scary. And sometimes Weekend, not Slumber Party. Weekend was the name of it. Where did I get Slumber? Did he write one called Slumber Party? Somebody tell me. I don't have the books. They're at my parents' house. I need to. No, they're at my house now. So if I ever get home, I'll look them up and tell you. Or not. You know, whatever. Weekend was the name of the book where people come to a slumber party. Anyway. Criminy. So Christopher Pike wrote thrillers. He sometimes wrote them a little with a little supernatural twist, which was kind of neat. It wasn't like far out supernatural twists. Like one was Remember Me, where he wrote from the vantage point of a teenage girl who fell from a balcony and is trying to find her murderer and convince people that she was murdered, that she wasn't a suicide. And it's good. it's told from the point of view of the ghosty girl who, so she's trying to prove that, pardon me. She's trying to prove that she was murdered. God, I just trail on sometimes. So then, later in his books, Christopher Pike starts writing more sort of sci-fi fantasy type stuff. And it's really far-fetched. It's bizarre sci-fi. It's not, it's like, God, I don't know. But, you know, so I kind of fell out of, he kind of fell out of my favor, to be honest with you, because it's just, it was just weird. And he took the story about the young girl who died, who's trying to find her, you know, the circumstances surrounding her death. He's trying, he brings her back in another book, which had some crazy sci-fi crap going on. I won't say crap, because I'm sure somebody likes it, but some sci-fi stuff. And I don't know, it just got weird. He wrote this really good book for adults called Sadie, I don't remember. It was about a young woman who professes to be God and teaches a bunch of people about God and the nature of God and God. It's good though. It's really good. I recommend it. I found it. This is so sad. Found it for $1 at a dollar store. Like a Dollar Tree or everything's a dollar, whatever, in the mall. Found it for $1. And not just that, it was autographed. So it was an autographed Christopher Pike novel that was $1. And Christopher Pike was kind of an enigma because he never published his pictures. And again, and also he used a pen name that was kind of a famous pen name. So he never had pictures. He never told much about his life. He, you know, he's just very enigmatic. And so we girls would talk about him and say, wonder what he looks like. I wonder if he's dreamy. You know, we'd wonder what his real name is. We'd talk about it and wonder, you know, who is this Christopher Pike? Ooh. But getting back to the point, this book not only was autographed, not only cost $1, but it was, it had a picture. And I think it's the only picture of Christopher Pike I've ever seen. And even in this day and age of the internets, I don't think I've seen another picture of him anywhere. And I've looked. Trust me. I've looked for Christopher Pike on the internets because he wrote such fabulous books back in the day. So I never found him. Found out his real name, though. Yeah, this all makes me sound like some kind of crazy stalker, but it's more like when you all of a sudden remember your friend from junior high who you haven't talked to pretty much since junior high, and you look up that person's name, you Google that person's name to find out what they're doing, and you find out that... I won't go into that. That's a story I'll save for another time. Oh my gosh. I did Google a friend of mine who had a rather distinctive name and found out some crazy stuff. But, and I knew it was her because if there's somebody else out there with her name, then by golly, you know, they're, anyway, it's her. So, no pictures of Christopher Pike other than that one. I would have done a lot to go to a Christopher Pike book signing had I known he had been signing, but it was probably kept on the DL so his teenage fans didn't run screaming and try and rip his clothes off like he was a beetle or a monkey or a NSYNC-y. So, okay, so that's my Christopher Pike story. That's my Leonard Nimoy story. That's my traffic story. That's my bookstore story. I'm in front of a barbecue place now. The barbecue place has pork sandwiches every Wednesday for $1.50, and they're fantastico. I'm about to come to the place where I had a car accident almost 2 years ago. 2 years ago this coming May, I think, which kind of sucked. Because I had to get a new car, but I like my new car. Don't die on me, car. Love it. And I'm gonna pause now. I'm stuck in traffic. And it sucks. Oh, I'm almost to the... I'll tell you this story. I'm almost to the gas station. I'm almost to the gas station where my boyfriend bought me... not boyfriend. Ex-boyfriend. I mean, at the time he was my boyfriend, that's what I'm saying. I don't hold any delusions that he's still my boyfriend. I haven't talked to him in since the weekend after Thanksgiving. So I'm passing the Chevron station where I had my first Diet Coke with Splenda, which he bought for me because he discovered it and just freaked out. Was just like, oh, it's so delicious, you have to have it. He was such a Diet Coke freak. Which is funny because he's such a health freak about certain things, but he was such a fucking alcoholic that how can you be a fucking health freak selectively? You know, how can you be like, oh, I'm not going to drink any sugar, but I swear to God, I'll drink a whole fifth of Kessler's and pass out when I'm supposed to meet you for dinner. You know? It's like, where's the logic in that? Where's the fucking logic in that? It's like, I'm not going to eat this whole meat pie. I'm only going to eat half of the shepherd's pie because I'm watching my calories. But at the same time, I'm going to drink an entire six-pack of beer, do several shots, and pass out. I don't know. I just don't get the logic, but I won't talk about my ex-boyfriend, the alcoholic, anymore. Though I do miss him. Do love him. Even now, even though he was an ass. Well, not that he wasn't an ass. He was a good guy. But he was an alcoholic, and, you know what? I'm gonna save this story for Valentine's Day, because Valentine's Day is all about love. So I'll talk about him. He was probably, even though I was like, oh God, 27 when we started going out. 28 when we started going out. Oh my gosh. He was probably the first guy I ever loved. Like, for real. Like, not talking about stupid childish crushes. He was probably the first man I loved. Like, and I don't know. It's hard to love somebody when he wants nothing to do with you. I'm not going to talk about this anymore because I'm saving this for fucking Valentine's Day. And if you want to hear it, then tune in on February the 14th because that's when I will go into it. But at any rate, it's snowing right now because I can see it hitting my windshield. It's fucking snowing. It's supposed to be nasty. I'm going to pick up my sister's dog and then I'm going to go home, take my dog to poop, and then I'm going to hole up in my house, watch Arrested Development. Eat some pasta, maybe. I don't know. I ate so many baked goods because they had a bake sale to benefit some stuff. And I spent $4.50 at this bake sale and got some of the best baked goods I believe I've ever eaten. Oh, criminy. I thought I was going to die. They were so good. I had a lemon bar, which wasn't too lemony, and I'm glad it's the first thing I ate because it didn't taste that good. And then I had some chocolates, which had caramel in them. And I don't know how they made these chocolates, but they were exquisite. I mean, I know how they made the chocolates, but I don't know how they got the caramel in them. But they were amazing. And I had a Ghirardelli brownie, which nearly killed me because it was so damn good. I had a couple of pecan tassies, which were good. Okay, so you know where this is going, right? I had a Reese's bar was what it was called. So it was peanut butter on the bottom and chocolate on top. And oh, it was melting your mouth delicious. Oh, I could barely stand it. It was so good. I'm surprised I'm not diabetic now. And then we had a going away party for some folks who are going away. And I had a tea cake there. And in addition, a coworker brought in some Reese's cups and not just the little teeny tiny nickel sized ones, but the big ones, individually wrapped, of course. But I had one of those. And then I had two peanut butter kisses, which are, oh gosh, oh, if you haven't had those, oh, I pity you, I do. So I got that. That's all I ate today. Oh, and including my one egg, one bacon, one piece of toast, all that. And my milk, my cup of milk. So now I'm going to go home and eat some pasta and probably blow up like a cow. And I wonder why I'm so damn fat, you know? It's like, I wonder why I'm so chubby. Because I stopped exercising. For those of you who don't know, I used to weigh 220 pounds. And now I weigh less than that. Significantly less than that. But still a little bit overweight. If you're looking at weight charts, I'm a few pounds over the maximum allowable weight, I guess. No, about the maximum recommended weight. So I think you can hear my car, which is loud, and the windshield wipers. So anyway, so I'm a little bit overweight, and I was exercising before I had my breast reduction surgery in December of 04, and it is my car that's loud, because now that I stop, it's fine. Anyway, breast reduction surgery. Couldn't exercise after that for a while. It hurt for a while. It still hurts at times of the month that I'm sure you ladies know about. Criminy, I've been going on. Anyway, so I haven't really done exercise of note, really. I mean, I've done sporadic here and there, and for a while I'd walk for an hour during my lunch. But now I was eating right too, and now I just don't eat right. I just kind of eat whatever. So I've kind of gained a little weight back, but swear to God, not to the point where I was before. Not even close. Like, I've gone up one pant size, one dress size, one, well, not really a top size, because my boobs were so huge before. So it's, I want to speak about huge boobs, because I'm watching the other day, not right now because I'm driving, the other day I was watching Dog the Bounty Hunter, which if you haven't seen is just guilty pleasure. I mean, you know, what can you say about Dog the Bounty Hunter? I'm watching it, loving it. How does she cantilever her boobs that big? Oh my God, his wife Beth, if you haven't seen the show, she's a big woman, but her boobs, oh my God, I had big boobs before my surgery. I had, before I lost all my weight, I was a 42G, and then I lost down to a 36F, which isn't much of a difference. I mean, it's a big difference circumference-wise. It's not a big difference cup size-wise. But I swear to God, my boobs never stood at attention like Beth, the dog, the bounty hunter's wife. Oh my gosh. It's like a fucking shelf. I mean, she must have like flying buttresses in her bra. Because these things have to be at least I cups. I mean, I had a G. She has to be an I cup. And they're like up. They're not like mine were kind of like low. Even no matter what kind of bra I bought, they're always kind of low. And when you're that big, pretty much the only thing you can get is a minimizer bra. Or at least that's all I could find. So they were like, well, no, not. I guess they're not all minimizers, because I had some that weren't. But anyway, I swear, honest to God, she has got to have some kind of suspension system. I don't know how she does it. Because there was no way, no amount of staples and duct tape and wood and glue would make my boobs stand up that high when they were huge. Now they're fine. Now they're perky. Now I would totally fail the pencil test or pass the pencil test, depending on how you look at it. Meaning you put a pencil under your boob, and if your boob can hold it, you have to wear a bra. I put a pencil under my boob and it falls to the floor. There's no chance that a pencil, my bra, my boobs are going to hold onto a pencil now. But they're jiggly, they're big, I still gotta wear a bra. Anyway, so Dog the Bounty Hunter's wife, she just defies gravity. She must walk around with this anti-gravity thing just around her tits. Because there's no fucking way. No way. So, anyway, I'm passing a farmhouse where I'm going to my parents' house. It is snowing, it's Tennessee, it sucks, it's winter. I'm kind of hoping to be snowed in, but I don't want to lose electricity. Because if I lose electricity, I'll lose internets. Because I don't have dial-up. And I'm not going to pay for fucking dial-up. Why would I pay for slow-ass internet? Anyway. So, I probably need to end this while the ending's good. Oh, did I tell you about this? Yes, I did. I told you about Sylvia Pajoli saying shit on NPR's. My loud-ass car, snow, my sister's dog. Listen again next week. Probably, like, later this week. And if I'm snowed in, I'm podcasting like a motherfucker. You know. Snow be damned. Oh, my God, I'm getting wireless connection while I'm driving down this road. Oh, that's funny. People with their wireless, their unsecured wireless in their homes. You people are funny. I love y'all. I love y'all so much. Okay, so God bless. Send any email, complaints, issues, whatever. You know what? Send me if you've had an odd celebrity encounter, and don't just say, I met Bruce Campbell at a book signing. You know what? Because I have met Bruce Campbell at a book signing, and I've acted like an idiot in front of him. Now, I want weird things. I want, like, Lily Tomlin gave you six dogs. Weird, okay? That's what I want. I want your weird celebrity encounter stories. Send them to me, comanche.red@gmail.com. That's comanche.red@gmail.com. Or my website where I keep the information about my podcasts is www.schmoovenet.com/podcast. podcast. I'm getting there, y'all. It's hot in my car. The heater is killing me. Y'all have a good night. And hopefully I will talk to y'all soon, and that I have enough bread and milk and cigarettes and water and dog food to get me through the weekend, or else I'm going to be eating my dog. I'm going to have to eat my dog. All right, bye.